Greetings. My name is Carl Eisen. Welcome to part one in a three-part series on reducing stress and improving resilience in uncertain times. Last month, I hosted a workshop at the Women in Aviation International Conference at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort here in Florida. What an amazing experience. My mind keeps going back to the conference and the incredible enthusiasm and optimism of everyone there. It really felt like the sky was the limit, with an upwardly mobile aviation career right around the corner for anyone who wanted it. And now, lots of uncertainty. The month of March holds special significance for me. March 21st, 1988 was my date of hire at a major airline. I was 27 years old and I felt like the king of the world. But getting to that point, the journey along the way had plenty of joyful highs and devastating lows. And each of those low points had one thing in common. At the time, it felt like it would last forever. The challenging ride doesn't suddenly stop when you get your dream job either. As much as I loved my airline career, it can be a real roller coaster ride. In 2007, after 20 years of airline flying, the roller coaster ride was taking its toll on me. I can admit now that I was taking a lot of the BS too personally. As a result, year after year, my own level of stress and anxiety increased. So much uncertainty. I was becoming less and less resilient, my mind looping in negative rumination and critical thoughts. A lot of the time, I was on edge, hypervigilant. No matter who you are, sky god or not, when it comes to our psychological and emotional well-being, we all have a window of tolerance. And as long as we're inside that window, we remain resilient. We have the ability to self-regulate, to remain calm, cool, and collected. Outside that window of tolerance is the fight, flight, or freeze response. In the fall of 2007, I found myself outside of my window of tolerance. I was stuck in a state of hypervigilance. I'm a pilot, not a psychologist, and I really didn't have a clue about what I was experiencing. What I did know was that I was anxious and I was suffering. My mind would race. I couldn't seem to calm my own busy, distracted inner dialogue. Back then, my airline didn't have a peer support group and there were no pilot-specific mental health providers. When I went to my family doctor and received the diagnosis of generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, I was devastated. I was also grounded. I thought my flying days were over. And that old familiar feeling, it's going to be like this forever. But it wasn't forever. A year later, I was back flying. And I felt great, enjoying my job more than I had in years. The most important thing I learned during that year off was the value and importance of psychological and emotional self-regulation. The ability to stay in or return quickly to that window of tolerance, regardless of the stressful situations we find ourselves in. Simply put, I'm much more resilient now. In the following years as a captain, I had several emergencies. I handled them all feeling cool and confident. Even in the uncertainty of smoke in a belly compartment and an emergency overweight landing. Even recurrent training, typically a big source of stress for pilots, became a non-event. For me, and millions of others like me, mindfulness and meditation practice is what made the difference. No more roller coaster ride. Don't get me wrong, life still has its highs and lows. This past month is a perfect example, but I'm no longer destabilized by them. The result is an overall sense of being okay with life as it unfolds, and an understanding that, good or bad, it's not going to be like this forever. We all have moments in our life when we reflect, if I'd only known then what I know now. And what I know now, the tools that have made me resilient, are available to anyone who's interested. Put aside any preconceived notions you might have about the touchy-feely nature of mindfulness practice. These are the same scientifically validated techniques used by elite athletes, military special forces units, Formula One driving teams, and many others. Think of it as situational awareness and resilience training. There are three basic skills that I'll discuss in this three-part series. The first is accurate self-assessment. How am I actually doing, and am I outside of my window of tolerance? In part two, I'll discuss ways of getting ourselves back in our window of tolerance when we've been destabilized. And in part three, I'll introduce mindfulness and meditation as a way of improving resilience by making our window of tolerance bigger so we're less likely to be destabilized in the future. Many careers in aviation involve risk management, and most pilots are familiar with the I'm Safe checklist. I'm Safe is a self-assessment tool that stands for illness, medication, stress, alcohol, fatigue, and emotions. An accurate self-assessment isn't just a valuable tool when we're flying, it's helpful in everyday life too. In particular, challenging times like the uncertainty we're all facing right now. With illness, medication, and alcohol, it's pretty simple. Don't fly if you're sick, impaired by medication, or under the influence. But with stress, fatigue, and emotions, self-assessment can be a little bit trickier. These factors are insidious. Every one of us experiences them in varying degrees and at different times. Frequently, they're already having a negative impact on us long before we realize it. With fatigue, a big problem is that our ability to self-assess is impaired by fatigue. Go figure. We've all experienced this, nodding off when we're trying to drive or fly and suddenly jerking back awake. Stress and emotions tend to sneak up on us too, and when we're lost in stressful rumination or distracted by emotional overload, our ability to self-assess is impaired. And when we do finally realize we're suffering and distracted, we try to think our way out of it, even when we don't have enough information, which simply creates more stress. As aviation professionals, from pilots to dispatchers to air traffic controllers, engineers, technicians, and more, we all share something in common. We're called upon to manage risk. We take in as much information as we can, search our past experience, our memory, to solve potential problems and get the desired result in the future. This is a good thing, and the better we are at this, the more successful we become. But there's a downside to this, too. It can create a kind of momentum of mind that's hard to disengage from. When it comes to reducing stress, our problem-solving aviator minds tend to seek the exact opposite of what they need. If our mind is agitated, it tends to seek more agitation. If I'm late for work and some bad driver cuts me off, will I become more or less agitated? If I'm irritated with the current political situation, do I seek out more or less news? And if I'm already an aviation professional, or hope to become one, and the entire industry I love has just been thrown into uncertainty, the tendency of my mind is to relentlessly seek answers to questions that can't yet be answered. I've been a commercial pilot for more than 4 decades. I have a mind that does not like uncertainty. And right now, uncertainty seems like all we have. And the one question my mind keeps wanting answered has no answer. At least not yet. I can't know how it all turns out. I can't stop the roller coaster with obsessive thinking, no matter how much my mind wants to. The best I can do is learn to smooth out the ride some. Smoothing out the ride begins by pausing and coming to our senses, right here, right now, realizing through self-assessment, how am I? Mindfulness, the ability to observe our own experience without getting too distracted by thinking, is the tool we use. Once we can see how we're carrying tension, both physical and mental, how we're mentally chasing our own tail, we can disengage from it before it's too late. Yes, things in our industry just got bad, but that doesn't have to define me, nor will it be like this forever. In part two of this series, we'll explore some of the science that supports the value of a pause and why coming to our senses can make all the difference in the world. I'll also introduce you to an exercise you can do anytime and anywhere to help bring you back to your window of tolerance. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and I hope you're finding this useful.